spanning the Valley of the Sun and all across the 48th state. This is the Gatos and Chad Show.
Happy, happy, happy Monday. This is the Gatos and Chad Show. Barry Markson in for Monsieur Gatos.
Hello.
He'll be back tomorrow, starting off. Horrible scene earlier today.
Oh,
Nashville. More violence.
We have 3 adult victims, and we have 3 children who have been identified, and their families have been contacted.
Chief Drake there. 3 adults, 3 kids. I think one of the adults is the shooter.
No, that's fourth.
Fourth?
Oh, three adult victims, 3 minor victims,
okay,
and the shooter.
So 7 total people dead.
Yeah.
Female, Barry. Totally, yeah. An odd thing in a world where, you know, it is a male-dominated thing.
As much as we don't want to believe it, the men are the crazier ones.
Yes.
But yeah, who was just telling me 2%, only 2% of these mass shootings are done by women. So yeah. It's very, very rare. And that's the report
women
we have.
More poisoners, I think, than this. And but, you know, the thing is, it's the kids, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, you're the first thing that came to my mind, Barry, was custody dispute.
Yeah, right. That's what you wonder. Is it a disgruntled ex-employee? Is it a custody dispute? I don't understand what can possibly be going through someone's mind, mental illness or not, that would cause you to go in and shoot and kill a small child. It just makes zero sense to me. I don't understand what can possibly be in your head.
So she had, when last I looked, and again, it's, as I always say, it's a fluid situation. She had 2 long guns. And at least 1 handgun.
Yeah.
She was loaded for bear.
Yeah.
She came in through the side, apparently went up to the second story, and then, you know, did what she did. And again, former student, former employee, custody battle.
We'll find out,
you know, and they're talking about, like, what do they do from here?
They will essentially vacuum clean this woman's recent history. They'll try to find out, did she have a job? Where did she work? Did she have any ties to the school? Did she have any ties to the church? All those kinds of bits of information will be put together to develop a profile and to try to get a sense of what the motivation was. What was the motive for going in and killing children?
Because it was a Christian school, and it was from kindergarten through 6th grade, if I'm correct, and it was attached to a Presbyterian church.
Correct. It's in a church building.
Yeah, it's in the church building. So was there something that went on there? I've heard every, you know, and there's, and again, conspiracy theories, just the minute it happened, here they come.
Oh, it's so bad. Marjorie Taylor Greene's already blaming it on that the woman must be a trans person taking a huge amount of hormones that would cause her to do this.
They're also saying she was a former student at the school.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, see, so.
We'll find out. We're going to find out.
But, you know, that is the go-to, Barry, in today's world is, everybody run, find out what her name is, go straight to her Facebook and find out what her political leanings are.
Right.
Because if they support my belief, well, then bad. If they support your belief, then you guys are just stretching it.
Yeah. And there's going to be mental health involved here, Chad. There's nobody who doesn't have a major mental health issue that could go in and do something like this. Like, that's at least what I think. I don't know how else you can do it. But I was talking to somebody about this earlier, because I know people don't want to hear about the gun debate and all that kind of stuff, and I'm not here talking about taking away anybody's guns. But in every country has mental health issues, right, Chad?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no question about that. But not every country has these things almost every day. I mean, it's beyond the pale of what we're dealing with here. And every time it happens, we're all just shocked, and we're sad, and we can't take it anymore. And we don't do anything about it. And it just, let's figure out a way to stop letting people with mental health issues have guns.
Can we just do that? Do other nations have the mental health problem that we have? I think our mental health problem is kind of through the roof.
You think so?
I do. You know, I've been fortunate enough to live all over the world. I do not remember having the mental, even when I was younger, we had more mental health issues than a lot of other places. We have a lot of mental health issues, especially amongst young men. And now I think we're starting to see that globally, you know, but, you know, I think we do have a big mental health problem. And because we have, you know, we were talking about it last week, you know, we went down to, what was it called, guys? The Zone? Is that what it was? The Zone, where all the homeless are?
Yeah.
It's mental health central. People are talking to light poles, talking to themselves, walking in the streets. There's not a lot left of them mentally. And But then at the same time, it's like you just can't scoop them off the street. We have a constitution. You can't just snatch somebody off the street.
Yeah.
It's a tough situation to get in when you start talking about mental health.
Yeah, no, there's no question about that. But there are laws that a lot of states have right now. And frankly, Governor Ducey proposed this several years ago and then backed away from it. But a red flag law.
Yeah.
So that if someone has a mental health issue, if somebody says if a family member is saying this person is having issues, or police find somebody with mental health issues and they have guns, to be able to temporarily remove guns from their homes so that just to stop this potential. It's not going to solve every issue.
No, God,
but if it stops one, wouldn't that be a good thing?
You know.
And then a background check that has a universal background check that has that mental health component. So we're checking that so that if you have a history of violence, if you have a history of mental health, you're not going to be able to buy that gun. Just these small things, not taking guns away from anybody, not changing anything else. But couldn't we just agree? I know we all agree on that because it's like 90% in polls say, yes, we should do that.
Yeah.
But yet we don't do it.
But the problem is, and again, this goes back to, I'm sure, a lot of people say, which is, look, I totally understand that. So if somebody says, hey, I think this person's mentally ill, maybe they're getting back at you, but they come and take your guns. Here's the issue. We were just talking about, you know, how many times do we read where, you know, the feds come in, they take somebody's cash, and then they don't give it back to them forever and a day.
But the gun thing it'll be a day. So you'll have a hearing. Well, you're gonna be in front of a judge in a hearing within 48 hours, and you're gonna say, judge, this is my ex-girlfriend, she's mad at me, here's who it is, here's three people who I mean, there's ways to deal with that.
You would hope it's that. It sounds good, but you would hope it's that way, because I've read where other states have mental health, where they have red flag laws, and people are still going, okay, you guys said I didn't have one. You wouldn't even give her a restraining order, but you won't give me back my guns.
Well, look, we have to deal with that. If that's an issue, that's an issue. But there's things we can do
to at least
take the bad stuff off the top, where someone's in a really stressful time in their life and they're having mental health issues, or they're threatening violence against themselves or other people. And by the way, most of the time, we're not talking about someone harming someone else. We're talking about them harming themselves with their own gun. And that's really what we're talking about. This, as often as this happens, it's still relatively rare when you talk about gun deaths. Gun deaths are more suicides. That's what we're really talking about. But why not? Why not find a way? If there's an issue with it, like you're describing, fix it. Let's fix it. But why not find a way where someone's having an inordinate amount of stress? People in their life, their family, their loved ones are saying something's not right. This person is different. Something's not right. We're so scared. He has guns in the house. We're so scared. Why can't they go to the police and say, we just want him to be safe?
Yeah. Well,
just for a short period, temporarily. It's where you can get things turned around.
Again, you have to, unfortunately nowadays, you have to spill everything out because lawyers, you know how that is.
I love the lawyers.
No longer a lawyer. He's retired from that business. He's joining in the program today in for Monsieur Gatos, who will be back tomorrow. Coming up, one of Barry's favorite subjects in the whole wide world. Carrie Lake. We're going to talk a little Lake.
Just for me?
We're going to talk a little Don. It's not quite Tuesday again. He didn't say which Tuesday was going to go to jail. Talk about all of that straight ahead. It's the Gatos and Chad Show.
The Gatos and Chad Show. Afternoons.
Carrie Lake. You know, I said last week, if you went 1-for-6 and you were in Major League Baseball, you're like, dude, you suck.
1-for-7.
1-for-7. You suck. You know, a couple days like that. Next thing you know, they're like, you know what? You need to go down to AAA, maybe hit off a tee. Not Carrie Lake. Depending on what you read over the last several days, it was either the worst day in history, or if you were reading, not conservative magazines, but uber white right-wing magazines, magazines. It was the greatest day in history. Barry, you were a former litigator here in the great state of Arizona.
Yes.
Break it down to us that this wasn't the greatest day, and then in fact, she didn't win anything.
Yeah, it actually makes me laugh because people who are saying Carrie Lake won something, it's like the bizarro world. So Carrie Lake had filed a lawsuit with 10 different counts in it, Chad. You remember that?
Yes.
And the judge dismissed 7 of them, had a trial about 3 of them. She lost all that. She appealed it to the Court of Appeals, appealed all of the judge's rulings, and the Court of Appeals affirmed the judge agreed with the trial judge and said, nope. You lost. Carrie Lake lost. She appealed it to the Supreme Court and had 7 issues. There were 7 questions that she brought to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court didn't even have briefing on it. That's how bad this is. Didn't even say, why don't you all brief this? We'll have an oral argument. You know, like you expect to see in the Supreme Court. Didn't even do any of that. Looked at it and said, there's so nothing here that we're just going to reject these appeals outright. 6 out of the 7. And on one of them, on signature verification, they sent it back to the trial judge, not because substantively anything Carrie Lake said resonated with them, or they said, well, wait a minute, she has evidence here. Not because of that. It was a very legal, technical issue. It dealt with latches. I don't want to bore you on the whole thing, but the trial judge had said she should have filed the lawsuit earlier before the election, and the Supreme Court said, no, if you read specifically what she said in the complaint, it's not that. You have to look at it again. So they sent it back to the judge to say, judge, look at it substantively. Is there any merit to this? Not procedure, now merit. That hasn't been done yet. In the meantime, the Supreme Court also said in this ruling that Carrie Lake says she won, that you have said things in here, you've made claims and questions in here that are false. You are saying something is real and it's not real.
What was it, 35,000 magical votes?
She said there were over 35,000 votes injected into the election at that runback place without evidence, without any evidence in the record to indicate that. And the Supreme Court said, we're going to look at sanctioning you about this. And today, the Arizona Supreme Court set a schedule. April 5th is when Carrie Lake has to respond to the motion for sanctions. And then the other side, the defendants can say, okay, we have another week to reply to rebut that. And then the Supreme Court will make that decision. In the meantime, the trial judge, which is looking at the signature verification issue, had to stop what he was doing. He was going to do stuff this week. He was going to decide the motion to dismiss again this week. But he said, wait, Supreme Court's still acting. I'm going to wait till they're finished and then I'll start. So we're not going to see anything for at least 2 or 3 weeks on that.
Which is kind of we were talking about it earlier in the office, all the guys. There are a lot of people on the Republican side who supported Carrie Lake, but they're ready to jump into the Senate race and they're kind of waiting around to find out what she does because, much like Trump, she is kind of, I can't say this about a woman, but I will, the elephant in the room.
Yeah, she's sucking a lot of the oxygen out of the Republican room. There's no question. So Blake Masters has indicated he may want to run again. People are saying Doug Ducey has not said he's going to run for Senate, but some folks are saying Doug Ducey may. Karen Taylor Robeson's another name that comes up. Jim Lehman, who ran before.
Sheriff Mark Lamb. You know, sounds like he was ready to get into it about a month ago.
So we'll see. And I have to tell you, after seeing some of the stuff that Kyrsten Sinema said the other day, I'm actually wondering if she might just flip over and say, I'm a Republican now and just run as a Republican.
That's always in this day and age, it's always a possibility. I always wait for our good buddy Manchin there. You know, the guy, how a Democrat stays a Democrat and it continues to be voted in a state that is the reddest of all states.
It's
the
true.
Dawn this week, potentially, maybe the it is. Look, I have yet to find anybody. I've got a lot of friends who are much like you, are a lawyer, but I still like them anyways. And the reality is this is ridiculous. I think we all know. Look, you can look at January 6th and you can look at Georgia, but this reach by Alvin Bragg in New York is a reach that you're trying to take something from a misdemeanor to a felony that the Fed said, no, we're not going to go after, but you're going to, and your star witness is a person who's already admitted he did it by himself and has lied under oath.
Yeah, look, there's a lot there. I mean, Michael Cohen was prosecuted for these things, and the finding was he did it on behalf of person one, which was Donald Trump. But I agree with you. If you're going to talk about the potential things that Donald Trump faces legally, this is the least of his worries. I mean, what you have going on in Georgia is a real problem for Donald Trump. And frankly, the federal case now, not just January 6th, but the Mar-a-Lago document case, the stuff that he took from the White House and wouldn't give back. They just did a thing there. I mean, I've been a lawyer for 30 years. You never see this. The felony crime exception were to attorney-client privilege. Attorney-client privilege is sacrosanct. You do not breach attorney-client privilege. A judge just ordered one of Trump's lawyers to testify against Trump and provide his notes and documents because they're saying that the stuff he did with Trump, without question, was in the commission of a crime. And that's insane, Chad. You never see that. So the fact that we've now seen it twice against Donald Trump, where two of his lawyers have been ordered to turn over their communication with Trump and breach that attorney-client privilege, that tells you that what they're seeing underneath, what the judge is seeing, we haven't seen it yet, but what the judge is seeing underneath is somewhat overwhelming evidence that a crime has been committed. That's the part that should really worry Donald Trump.
Yeah, but, you know, I look around at these things, you know how many times, I mean, as you know, how many, he's going like the Washington Post, first day of his presidency. It's the march to impeachment. I mean, this is, you've heard this 1,000 times, and I keep telling everybody, wake me up when it happens in that sense.
All right.
And you know, could something come of these? Absolutely. Could there also be somebody in the White House going, hey guys, they found a bunch of my stuff too, next to a 67 Corvette. Yeah. You guys saw the vet, right?
It's a nice car.
It was a nice looking car. But
it's different though. And the felony crime exception, that's where the difference is. What Biden did, what Pence did, I don't understand how.
I don't know what Biden had, because we still don't know what any any of them have.
I don't know how this stuff gets out of, you know, these are supposed to be classified documents, how they get out of their people's homes. I don't know. This is ridiculous on all counts. But there's an absolute difference between something happens accidentally, and as soon as they do it, President Biden and Vice President Pence go, they put their hands up and say, come in and look for everything. I have no idea what's going on. And Trump, who, by the evidence we seem to have, had people move it around to keep it from his lawyers and from the government so that he didn't have to give stuff back.
What do you think he had?
I don't think he had anything.
I don't think he had a thing. I think it was like autographed pictures.
Chad, I think it's like the crap in my garage that I don't even know what's in there. I don't know why I still have it. And I don't want it, but I'm not going to throw it away.
It's the hoarder syndrome.
It absolutely is.
Like, I might need that receipt.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's where I... That's Chairman Xi and I hugging each other. I got that piece. He signed it for me.
He's going to get in trouble for something that he didn't.
It's the cover up, man.
Exactly. He doesn't care about it. He never would have looked at it again.
Martha Stewart didn't go to jail because she insider. She went to jail because she tried to cover it up.
If he would have just said, we took some stuff we're not supposed to have him come in and take it back. It'd be done. We wouldn't even be talking about this. It'd be done. It'd be nothing. That's what's going to get him. And I don't know what's going to happen with the other stuff, but Georgia's something for him to worry about. And this stuff is the federal stuff with that new Jack Smith, that new special prosecutor.
Well, we'll see.
He's talking to Trump's people. It's going to get interesting.
Yeah, but Trump's people always seem to be, well, Trump's people, we know if this was Clinton's people, they'd be like, we can't believe they died. That was weird. Shot himself 4 times in a suicide. He was really angry at himself.
We're going back to Vince Foster now? Come on.
Enter $100 Amazon gift card. Spoil your furry family members to get KTR's Paw Pick. Send us a photo of your pet. You go to KTR Paw Pick contest. Submit your photo at KTR.com/contest. Different pet photo will be randomly drawn at the end of each month, and you'll be named the KTR Paw Pick of the month. Coming up, are you patriotic? Probably not. Are you religious? Probably not. We discuss. Get us a chat show.
This is the Gatos and Chad Show.
Ah, the youngsters of America hate America. It's according to a new poll.
They do not like it.
No, they don't. Democrats, not a fan of, at least, not patriotic, not religious either. New NORC poll, N-O-R-C, University of Chicago, nonpartisan research organization, finds all kinds of things. But the big thing is patriotism. Since 1998, Barry's in for Young Gatos today.
25 years.
You've been here for 25 years? Fantastic. So check this out. 1998, 70% of Americans identified as patriotic. It's only 38% now.
Yeah.
It's not a good thing.
So they said 70% said that patriotism was very important to them in 1998. And now 38%. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's incredible.
That is incredible. Religion, 62%. 1998, down to 39%. The only thing out of everything that went up was money.
Yeah, money's important.
Money is important. Okay, I think we all know that. Money, I like money. Money's important. But Barry, one of the other things here, 59% said having a child was important. Now it's only 30%. Some of that is money, but I think a lot of that also has to do with the fact that people just aren't into kids anymore. We touched on it.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people who are just more focused on their own enjoyment and their own life, and it's less, certainly less religion goes along with that as well.
Absolutely.
Less getting married. We're seeing less marriage.
This is how the empire crumbles. You know that, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I mean, you go back and look at all the great empires in the past, they don't die from outside.
Yeah.
They die from inside. You know, what is it? Hard work makes for tough men. You know, tough men make for easy work. You know, easy work makes soft men kind of thing. It's that kind of thing. Because we're in a world now where, you know, they've started talking about, you know, a lot of stuff here that had to do with like gender identity and pronouns and things like that. Racial diversity in business. When you've got the best thing in the world, which is our world, that's easy. It's hard to find something to be mad at.
Yeah. Well, and we talk about that too, right? People who come here as immigrants, they come to the United States, they know what they came from.
Yes.
And they come here and they love the United States and they love everything about it. They find things to love. And then, but the people who have been here and were born into it and we're 3 generations in,
it's all slavery.
My seats at the Suns aren't as good. I don't like it anymore.
You know, somebody misgendered me, but you don't have a gender. I thought, you know what I mean? It's interesting to, when you read this though, because look, it's kind of scary, right?
Like,
and a younger generation in particular in college is going to a place that is not open to free debate. Now, I mean, you're a lawyer, for God's sakes. Yeah. I've talked to more law professors over the last couple of years going, the leftist place that you can find on a college campus now is law school.
Oh, well, you saw what just happened at Stanford.
Yes.
So a federal judge went to Stanford, and look, by all accounts, he's a right-wing guy who was right wing before he became a judge, and he's a judge.
And he wasn't even there to talk about certain things. No, he was there to talk about Twitter and guns.
Right. He was invited to talk about certain things, and they shouted him down, wouldn't let him talk. And then one of the deans showed up, I thought, to help quiet down the crowd and let the guy talk. This is at a law school, freedom of speech. Yeah. And she just starts lambasting him in front of the crowd, like just piling on. It was incredible. Now, to their credit, the dean of the law school, the dean of Stanford, both sent a letter apologizing to the judge and then did a 10-page memo to the law school community and said, this is why we don't do this. This is what, free speech really is important. Thank goodness they did that. I was very impressed that they did that.
But the fact that they had to do that is terrifying.
It's embarrassing.
But it's scary. It's scary. Speaking of scary, one in four adults right now, that is of a certain age, you know that 25 to 34 is kind of range. You guys are having trouble dating because mom and dad won't leave their house so you can bring a girl or guy home.
I had this, I have kids in college right now. I have one who's a junior in college, just turned 21, had his big, literally last week. And he's got one more year. And I told him, you better start focusing on what you're going to do after college because you're not living here. And I mean, I'm half joking around, but I'm not. He needs to get a job. He needs to get out of the house. We're not going to do that.
Oh, you're so mean.
Well, I, you know what? He needs to figure out what he's going
to
do.
And
he's
a hard worker. I'm like, dude, you are really going to have to start paying for your own stuff.
Yeah. Chaz, we're on a 30-day rolling lease with you. We'll see how it goes every month. But no, this is what's going on. And we know him. I know parents now whose kids have graduated from college and they're back home. They got a job out of school even. They decided, I don't like working this hard.
Oh, I know. Isn't that crazy?
It's incredible. I have a friend of mine whose son got an accounting degree, got a job with a big accounting firm downtown Phoenix, can work from home, do the whole thing. It's hard. It's a lot of hard work. After 1 year, he's like, I don't want to do this anymore.
They want to do something.
Quit.
I always joke with Gatos that they want to do something that makes their heart sing, because that's what the Secretary of Labor said on 60 Minutes. Like, they want to do something that makes their heart sing.
True.
You know what? Heart singing is great if you have a great voice and it can pay the bills.
Yeah.
But if not, I don't want you on my couch and I don't want to pay your cell phone bill forever.
Yeah. It's amazing. And that what parents are letting these kids get away with, and also kids, we're going to talk about later, but like absenteeism in elementary school, parents letting their kids just not go to elementary school because they don't feel like it that day.
It's like a mental health day.
I'm like, where were my parents when that was happening? I would wake up and go, I don't want to go to school today. My mom would smack me and throw me in the car.
Yeah, I don't want you to be my kid today, but here we are. So you're going to school.
Yeah, no, but this is incredible that a quarter of people, and this isn't, by the way, Chad, I'm not talking about you're 22, 23, you just graduated, you're trying to get a job. That's not what we're talking about. These are 24 to 34 year olds. These are adult people who are still living on their parents or in their own bedroom. That's insane. 25%, one in four. That's crazy.
Yeah.
It really
I was
is.
16 moving to Europe. My mom comes in the bedroom. I go, what are you doing? She goes, I'm going to turn this into something else. I'm like, well, you going to let me leave first? I mean, I'm still only 16.
Wow.
But
my wife's doing that. My kids still come home. I said, no, it's important while they're in college that they know they have a room here. Yeah. They know. But as soon as they're done, they're out of there. She's got plans.
You got to give them like a couple months to get their feet. You know, let them enjoy themselves. Maybe do some traveling. You know, hey, you worked hard. You got your degree. Now go do some traveling. And then when you come back, you got a month to find a job. And then we'll give you a couple months to move out. And then if not, then we're going to have you evicted.
That's right. we're 6 months from you picking up the tab when we go out.
That's Barry Marks, and he's in for Gatos. Big show today. Gatos will be back tomorrow. Coming up. Should every kid have to say the Pledge of Allegiance every single morning? Oh, my Lord.
By law. About,
by law, he says, and he knows because he's a lawyer. Barry Marks and for Gatos. Gatos and Chad Show.
Drive home with the Gatos and Chad Show.
Pledge of Allegiance to the United States of what? That is the potential of what could happen. Barry Marks it in for Gatos today. So, Barry, pledging allegiance, should kids be forced to do it every single morning? I say no. I don't even think it's constitutional.
Yeah, it's not constitutional. There have been cases that talk about it, that you can't make somebody say the Pledge of Allegiance. It's a First Amendment issue. And frankly, Jack, I always think about this. It's like if it's a pledge, you shouldn't. A pledge is something you're doing voluntarily. You're pledging your allegiance to the flag, to the country. It's not something we should force you to do. That's really not much of a pledge. But this is a bill in the Arizona legislature. They want to make this the law in Arizona that every kid, kindergarten up through high school, senior, you have to say the Pledge of Allegiance every single day.
To me, I look at it, and again, like you said, first and foremost, if I'm pledging to something, it should be something that I'm voluntarily pledging. Right. If you will, the gun over you, standing over you, saying, you must do this, is not the same. And normally we talk about the Pledge of Allegiance, it's about under God. This is nothing to do with that. This is all about being actually told you have to say this every day.
Yeah, and it's look, I think this is misplaced. It's we talked about patriotism. Look, I grew up saying the pledge. I think it's great, but it becomes,
most schools still do.
I think they do too, and I think that have that in the state, to be honest with you. But it's to me this stuff where we're forcing patriotism down people's throats. I think the opposite is the effect. I don't think you get what you want from that. I think you end up with people's not doing it, doing it quietly. They grow to resent it. Why make that a
requirement? Let them get to college before they resent it, although now it's mostly in high school. It's getting there, too.
So this is coming from Representative Barbara Parker. She's a Republican in Mesa, and she's requiring the districts and charter schools to set aside a specific time every day where they're going to do the pledge. The crazy thing is if this passes, well, it'll probably pass the legislature. The governor will veto it because it's not constitutional. But if it was signed into law, all you're doing is opening it up for lawsuits. We're going to pay lawyers, and we're going to lose because the courts have decided this issue repeatedly over the years, and it's not constitutional.
No,
it's not. It's done. It's a done deal.
It's done, and it's done, and it's super done. Barry Marks in it for Gatos today. I was joking about this, and I was talking to guys earlier. I saw this the other day. So it's American Idol.
Yes.
Had a guy named Dave Stewart play guitar for his daughter. I think her name is Kaya. And Dave Stewart is the co-founding member of a band called Eurythmics.
The Eurythmics.
And I love Dave, actually. I ran him over one day. He was walking out of... I was coming in... Becky just went like, huh? I was coming out of...
How many people have this story to tell?
I was coming out of a tube in London. He was going into it, and I was going kind of fast, and I hit him, and I knocked him down. You know, he's not a big guy, right? You know?
And Chad said...
Dave Stewart. And I'm like, oh my God, I love the Eurythmics.
Can I have your autograph?
So, he's married to one of the ladies from Bananarama. So their kid went up and sang, and everybody's screaming, yelling, it's Nepo babies, Nepo babies, which is nepotism babies. Here's something you never hear. Nobody ever says that about a guy who's got a, you know, like an HVAC company or plumbing company, and their kid takes it over. We never hear about that. It's only Nepo babies if... It's a star.
It's a really hard gig to get that everybody would want and that nobody else has the opportunity to get into.
That's a Nepo baby?
Yeah.
Well, that's generally.
It's a famous star's kid.
Famous star's kid.
Getting access.
You know, but like, look, I've always admired, and I'm going to say this, Emilio Estevez, because he did not roll with the Sheen name.
That's right.
And he could.
That's
but
true.
But he got... Dad helped him. Nicolas Cage, who was my favorite, worst, best actor in the history of the world. Him and Keanu totally need to do a movie together. But Nicolas Cage, you know, his uncle is a major star.
Coppola.
So it wasn't like he didn't have help. That being said, he stuck around on his own. Because there's several Sheens or Estevezes that are awful at acting.
Yeah, no, and that's exactly right. You can get the step up. You can get the introduction. And that happens in every profession. There's lawyers who have kids who are now lawyers and all that. You get the help. But at the end of the day, you got to do the job. You got to produce. If you don't produce, you're not going to get there. The Nepo baby.
Your kids are going to college. What are they going to college for?
One's in business, an MIS major, Management Information Services. And the other one is film. He wants to do films and stuff.
Yeah,
so I've got a lot of contacts for him in the film business.
Do you really?
No.
See?
I don't know anybody at all.
But if they were lawyers, you never pushed them to be a lawyer, right?
Lawyers, no, never pushed them.
No, mediator might be different. But lawyers, see, for me, like everybody's like, are your kids going to follow in your footsteps? I'm like, no, because by the time all is said and done, AI is going to control everything, so you don't need to worry about that.
What?
You don't think so?
You think AI is doing these?
He's the doomsayer.
I'm not.
I leave him depressed every day.
I'm excited for it. The stuff that it's going to be able to do for us, 80% of America is going to have... AI is going to have some effect to what it is that we do. And everybody's always like, oh, it's going to be the worst thing ever. It's going to open up a lot of things, like trade schools.
I have to tell you, my older son's birthday was this last week. And my younger son did an AI video of Joe Rogan and Ben Shapiro having a conversation with each other about his brother. And it's his birthday and just making fun of him and goofing on him. And it sounds like Joe Rogan and Ben Shapiro are having a whole conversation that went on for 2 minutes. I have never laughed so hard in my entire life.
See?
And it
amazing.
And it seemed absolutely real.
Yeah.
It was insane.
It's incredible what it can do.
Yeah.
And yes, should there be some fear for some people? But yeah, if you don't need, you know, man, if you don't know it.
Now I'm afraid of it.
There you go.
Now I'm afraid of it.
Well, and look, even the people of creative have said, look, you guys, everybody should be happy. We have a little fear of it, too.
Yeah.
Because, there's that worry that, you know.
I think we're 6 months away from when Gatos is out. The guy sitting next to you is AI.
Skynet.
Skynet. Exactly.
Skynet's going to. I don't think it's Skynet yet. But look, I understand the nerves, but it's going to be awesome. And there's going to be great things coming, but there's, and I look at the medical side of it as well. The stuff that it's already doing with cancer,
right,
where it's jumping not months, but years and decades ahead of where we're headed. It's going to be awesome. He's Barry Marchand. He's in for a Gatos. Get us be back tomorrow. There was a shooting in Nashville at a Christian school. We'll talk about that. Hobbs won't execute Gunches. Talk about that as well.
New news from the Supreme Court.
New news. Get us a chat show.